flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Four teams remain.
The whole season essentially comes down to this play.
And two hosts remain.
You fart.
Me?
Yeah.
Never. It's possible.
I see in your eye.
This is a conference championship week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design, a trusted local architectural design studio ready to bring your dream home to life. Visit smartlinehomedesign.com.
Championship week with Isaac and Sue on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Roll, flip it, got it. Oh, the ball was dropped.
The Fan.
Hey, what to do? Good Friday. What's going on? It's one half of your sports bros, Rock. And Big Sue will be back on Monday. We've got Ryan Buckley over there.
What's going on,
fella?
Yeah, baby.
How are we doing today?
Excellent.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm fired up.
Why?
I'm just excited for the weekend.
What's there to be fired up about?
Well, the fact that we don't work the next 2 days.
Isn't that great?
And
should be 3 days, but.
And, well, yeah.
Because I think that it should be a four-day work week.
Well, naturally.
Is why I say that.
Yeah. And then, additionally, I am genuinely excited for the games this weekend. The sports slate,
sports.
As it were.
Yeah. What are you going to do tomorrow, though?
That's a good question.
For your sport. You going to watch Torrey Pines?
Yeah. I probably will, because, as you and I have discussed, I have a ticket on Mr. Ludwig Oberg to win the tourney. So I will probably keep an eye on that. But
it's a tight one.
It's supposed to be nice outside, I think. And so if it's nice, that means we are trying to run the kids so that they...
Yeah, you got to run them.
Yeah, so
like dogs.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Just like, get the energy out.
Until they get, you know, worn down a little bit and then they sleep easier and all that. So.
Now, how do you do that? Do you take them on like a
hikes, parks,
marathon?
My oldest is almost four and he's old enough to go on short, flat hikes now. So we'll go to places that have, you know, paved... you know, loops or whatever, and then we put the little guy in a backpack, a hiking backpack that he hangs in.
Cute. So. Wouldn't it be great if you could just send them out on their own, you know, with like little chips in them?
Yeah, go figure it out.
Or like if there were perps, they would just be, like your kids would be like radioactive, so if they touch them, they would get zapped.
And oh, nice, I like
so
that.
So they'd be protected. So then
have like a
just,
little electric fence on your kids?
Yeah, and then just like go walk around town.
Yeah.
Little Johnny.
Yeah, I think that anybody who might pose a threat to my oldest would learn very quickly that life's going to be, he's going to demand a lot from you. So that's how that would go.
What a weekend for you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we miss our big fella, but we press on. We do have Joey Harrington today, 5:30. Going to ask him about turnovers because, well, he played quarterback. And look, I mean, I don't want to, like, throw him under the bus or anything, but... You know, he turned it over a few times.
And he's aware of that.
Yeah. Joey Five Picks, is that what they call him? The Beavers,
Some
game? Civil War game? So I'm going to ask him about turnovers. And what are the traits of teams or quarterbacks that take care of the ball? They're good at it. And why wasn't he good at it? Damn it. Could have made a lot more money.
We were talking a little bit about this yesterday, but the fact that it feels like... somehow Josh Allen, over the span of maybe just two seasons, went from being a guy who was really prone to doing that to being a guy who doesn't do that at all anymore.
It sure seems like it. When's the last time he turned it over? I got to go look at his.
I don't know. I heard something on a podcast today that he has the fewest. There's a metric of like turnover worthy plays now. That basically, it's a set because
it's where you put the ball in harm's way.
Exactly, because there is some luck involved with the actual turnover. So this just assesses plays in which you could have turned the ball over or maybe should have turned the ball over. And he has like the fewest of those of like any quarterback out there.
Does he really?
And that was not his kind of MO. Not very long ago.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, they run the ball a lot better this year, so that's, you know, that's one thing. But good for him. Maybe Lamar needs to take a page out of that book. I'm looking here. The last INT he threw was, he did throw one against the Patriots a couple weeks ago. Didn't play a great game.
If it was the last game of the season.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
He didn't play in that game.
I was going to say, yeah, he played like a snap. So.
They played the Patriots twice and the Jets the last three games of the year. So after that Lions win, they didn't play anybody. So they, I mean, he's not really a telling number, but he only turned it over. He threw six interceptions all season. And I think is that how many Patrick Mahomes threw? Boop, boop,
boop, boop, boop. Oh, I don't know.
Beep, 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 beep. Looking. He was at 11. But only two in the Buffalo game since the start of November. That's it. So I'm going to talk to Joey about that. Because I don't know what he's going to say, but I trust his opinion on this. It's like, why are some teams good at not turning it over? And other teams or players, quarterbacks, aren't. And it may just be all luck. I don't know. Doesn't seem it.
And
doesn't seem all luck.
I would think there'd be different factors, too. I think that, like, some coaches are, like, so red-ass about it. Like, you can't ever – that they will intentionally go out of their way to make sure that their plays are almost more turnover-proof. Like, there's – like, it felt like Sean Payton did a little bit of that with Bo Nix this year. And so sometimes I think it can come down to the play calling, but off it can be the trigger man too. It can be the guy that's pulling the strings.
Well, you think about guys like Favre. You know, Favre turned it over a lot.
Gunslinger.
Yeah, he was just like whatever, but he was really, really, really good. But he turned it over. And then other guys, I'm trying to think, like, who's the quarterback? Do you know the answer to this off the top of your head? What quarterback turned it over the least minimum games
this year?
No, I just mean
ever?
Yeah. Ooh, like who is the best at not turning it over?
I don't actually know that.
I would imagine Tom Brady's up there. I'm gonna
probably. Yeah,
I can't believe I just now thought of that.
He's probably up there.
I'm gonna do some homework on that. I'll get back to you. But Joey 530. Big weekend. Good ball games. Can Josh Allen slay the dragon? That's the question. Can't wait for that. I was thinking about this today. You know, we're getting spoiled, Buckley, because we just had Ohio State Notre Dame championship game, which isn't for everybody, but those are two big brands, right? We had Ohio State Texas. We are coming off of a World Series where the Yankees played the Dodgers. And I was thinking that because I was reading about the TV ratings of Bills Chiefs, the first game, the regular season game this year, was like the highest, the most watched regular season game since Tom Brady v. Peyton Manning in 2007.
Okay.
So we love Bills Chiefs.
Yes.
So you can't, like, I can't ask the question, what sports matchup gets the highest ratings? Because it's going to be,
of course,
from the NFL.
Of course.
It's going to be whoever plays in the Super Bowl. But what I'm thinking about is, what are the best matchups that get the best ratings in each sport? And I think that we're getting spoiled.
We're like in a golden age of that right now, kind
of. Well, I mean, we've gotten them a lot lately.
Uh-huh.
And the Bills Chiefs might be the number one matchup in all of sports that
people
would get the
high.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Because
it's darn close to it. Yeah.
I mean, know what else would be.
I mean, something like a Yankees Dodgers is very much
Yankees. So I looked at
it depends what sports you're a fan of.
Of course.
But because that. But it doesn't really get any more perfect than that. The East Coast, West Coast, the, like, classic. I mean, people say they like plucky underdogs, but, like, America as a whole does not.
No.
They want the winners, the front runners, the guys who you have seen lift the trophy before.
Well, the best teams make the best matchups, and that's what we want.
Yeah.
And college basketball, you know, first, second round, we can live with the David versus Goliath, give the little guy a shot. But you're right. I mean, we get to the Final Four, we want the big boys. And that's true of all sports. So I looked up the ratings. Yankees Dodgers, the peak was Game 5, and that was the final game. And they it got 18 million.
Okay. That actually surprises me.
Is that high or low?
I didn't think you would get that many.
Yeah, that's pretty high. I mean, Yankees, that's as good as it gets for baseball.
Of course, yeah.
Now, Ohio State, Texas, or sorry, Ohio State, Notre Dame got 22 million.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at Ohio State, Texas, or Ohio State, Oregon, those games were just right underneath that 22 million. So those three were all over 20 million.
Yeah, and if Ohio State, Notre Dame, I think, had been a better game through and through, that number would have been higher too. But it looked for a little while like it wasn't going to be much of a game.
And then you had Bills, Chiefs, the first time, the regular season game, got over 30 million. And this one will get, I mean, my God, this one will get 50 to 55 million. What else is there? Sports, any sport, like you're a hockey guy. What matchup in hockey gets the highest rating?
I mean, like McDavid being in the, usually it's superstars being in there. Like Ian McDavid not being teams. In the cup last year was a big deal, but the Florida Panthers being in the cup was not.
Who are the most popular?
Well, people like the original six teams in hockey. So,
and who is that?
That's the.
Should I know that?
Probably. It's the Maple Leafs, the Canadiens, the Bruins, the Blackhawks. Who am I missing now? I haven't gone through this in a while. But yeah, it's basically like, oh, the Red Wings, definitely. And I don't know. I can figure out the fifth,
so
but the sixth one. But
the two bluest of bloods in hockey.
Yeah, kind of moves the needle
most
for people.
Would be two of those six teams?
Well, especially now when, like, I mean, Canada still hasn't won a freaking cup in, like, 30 years. So any of the, but especially if you get one of the original six, like you get the Canadians in there who haven't had one in forever. I think they might have even had the last. I think they did have the last. They beat Gretzky's Kings.
So Final Four, we would want Duke, Kentucky.
Your Jayhawks.
Kansas.
UNC.
Maybe UConn.
North Carolina.
I was reading today, North Carolina might not even make the tournament.
Oh, yeah, they're bad.
They're
right
not
now.
Very good.
Yeah.
NBA Finals, it's probably, I hate to say this, but it's probably Lakers-Celtics. We just saw that last night, by the way.
Yeah.
Lakers handled them. How about that?
Yeah, a little bit surprising.
But, yeah, it's probably Lakers-Celtics. Maybe Lakers-Knicks could be interesting for people. But we're getting, all this to say, you know, you're right. Bills-Chiefs this weekend, and then we had some big brands in the college football playoff, and we had Yankees-Dodgers. I think we're getting some good sports lately. Some really good sports. So anyway, let's get started. We're gonna start with Conference Championship Sippy Cup. Can Josh Allen slay the dragon? And just as quickly as we spoke about Pete Carroll to Dallas yesterday, Pete Carroll is not going to Dallas today. He is going to Las Vegas.
The offense was ripping.
Which, yesterday we were talking about it. I think Pete Carroll to Dallas was actually a pretty decent hire for them. I don't know if it's as good for the Raiders, considering they don't have a quarterback and they don't have as good of a roster. But interesting, he will be the oldest. He'll be the oldest head coach in NFL history, believe it or not. So we'll get to that coming up as well, and some other stuff. I'm going to tell you tonight why the bourbon boom may be over, and we will sum up the trouble with Gen Zers in one easy anecdote.
I'm excited for this.
I'm too.
The excitement, it's palpable.
Can you feel it?
Yeah. Catch the fever.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, our conference championship Sippy Cup on The Fan. So on the topic of turnovers and why some teams or quarterbacks are good at them, good at holding on to the ball, not turning it over, and others aren't, I did look up the quarterback all-time with the best interception percentage ratio relative to his attempts.
The text line was hitting us up with Aaron Rodgers quite a bit.
It is indeed Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is 1, Matt Ryan 2,
okay,
and Tom Brady 3. Fumble percentage, now I'm having a hard time finding that combined, interceptions and fumbles.
Okay, yeah.
So it's two separate stats, but right now Justin Herbert gets credited for, he only had 2 fumbles this year, which is the fewest of any starter.
Yeah, I specifically remember Jim Harbaugh talking about how amazing his hand strength is.
Yeah, well, he's got big old mitts.
Yeah, he does.
And so that helps. And he just doesn't fumble, but he's thrown several picks. Now, Josh Allen, his interception ratio or interception percentage when he started, his rookie year was 3.8%. which was not great. He had 10 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. But it's all the way down to 1.2 this year. Now, last year, he threw 18 picks. He threw a lot last year. He threw more last year than I remember.
Yeah.
He threw 18.
Right. He's not doing it at the clip he used to be doing it at.
Yeah, I just thought that he had been doing that much better for a couple of years, but he really hadn't. It's only been this year that he's been really good at 1.2. Best ever INT percentage per attempt for Josh Allen. So that bodes well for him. I don't think he slays the dragon. I was thinking, again, more about this game today, and I don't know how you can bet against Kansas City in the conference championship at home against Buffalo.
And that's what the public's doing. Do you know that? It's like 61% of tickets are on Buffalo.
That doesn't surprise me. And the reason that doesn't surprise me is because Kansas City they just don't strike a lot of confidence in you. But
they've lost the wow factor they used to have.
For sure. I mean, they're not nearly as explosive. Obviously, explosive offensive.
No, they're still the Chiefs, but they're not.
They just have
the
Patrick
version
Mahomes,
that started winning Super Bowls,
and they have a great defense. And I think there are some that are starting to spite bet against them because they don't want to see them in the Super Bowl. And the Bills are, look, come on, everybody, the nation loves the Bills, and you know, so I think that there's some of that.
Yeah, they're the Cubs of football.
It's just both teams are so trustworthy. I mean, it should be a one-score game. They'll both have their moments. So, you know, it's just like any other game. It comes down to the variance, like a key third down or a turnover here or there, and that's it. I just trust KC. They win these games. And to me, you know, the one thing that beats them is a turnover or two like Lamar Jackson did last week. And if you don't see that, and they don't do that very often, I think Kansas City wins like they always do. So it's just a classic, absolutely classic matchup. But when the number one seed at home is 20-5 straight up in the conference championship round, you've had three playoff matchups between these teams, and Kansas City's won all three.
It's kind of a prove it to me first situation.
Yeah, well, it's like this. I think about it like, because when we talk about betting, sometimes I'll say bet numbers, not teams. And what that means is when you're betting, what you try to do is you try to get the best of the number, meaning if you like a team who is -4, you just want to place a good bet. Doesn't mean that team's going to win. A good bet is that team -3.
Getting more value out of it, yeah.
That's a good bet because you got it at 3 when it closes at 4. So you want to try to make more bets like that. If 80% of your bets are like that, you're going to be a pretty good sports gambler. But so there's no such thing as a sure bet. You bet numbers, not teams. But if you are betting teams, which there is obviously crossover, I can't think of a team more trustworthy. Now, I wouldn't say this if they're laying a bunch of points, because they don't cover when they're laying 8 and 9.
No, but like 3 or less inside of a field goal? Yeah.
Inside of a field goal at home in the playoffs, can you give me a team in all of sports that is a good bet? Look, I'm not saying
they're
going to win.
I heard a stat on this yesterday, and it's that Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs has been an underdog or a favorite of 3 or less 7 times, and he's 7-0.
Yeah, right.
So, like, close games or the other team even favored a little bit, they go win those games.
And the spread is 2. So, to me, and I may lose the bet, but to me, I think I am placing a good bet by betting on Kansas City here. Because, like I said, find me another team in all of sports that you can trust as much as this team. I just think that's a good bet. I don't want to be sitting there watching that game, rooting against Patrick Mahomes, because I know Patrick Mahomes is about to rip my heart out.
He's going to pull it out
again. He's going to do it. Yeah. And that's maddening. And the way I know that is I've bet against them in the playoffs before.
Because we've seen this story.
I've been on the other end of it. I'm like, they're not that. Oh, they're going to lose. Oh, Josh Allen's going to get him. Oh, Lamar's going to get him. I bet I had Baltimore last year against Kansas City in the conference championship. Lost my money. So that's the way I'm looking at this game, is I trust Kansas City. I think it's a good bet. Blindly, it is just a good bet to have them in this spot only laying two. That said, it is such a close game. Both teams are so good that just like pretty much all the other matchups, I think there was one playoff matchup between these two that Kansas City won by double digits. Other than that, we remember the game that went to overtime. We remember that. I mean,
it was a garbage time thing. It was like they scored their last touchdown in the last 30 seconds or something. It was like went from like a 2-point game to a 9-point game.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one score game either way, but I just trust Kansas City in that spot. That's what they do. So that's how I'm looking at that one. And then on the other side, man, I was thinking about the coordinators today. And I'm sitting here going, man, Vic Fangio is so good. Cliff Kingsbury is going to have to bring his A game. What does he cook up against Vic Fangio? But then I thought about the other side of the ball, and I saw you shot me this on social media. Joe Witt, I think is his name, is the defensive coordinator in Washington. Now, of course, their defense has the Dan Quinn stamp on it, but he says they are going to hurt Jalen Hurts, or they are going to hit Jalen Hurts like he's a runner. Well, duh, of course. I mean, if he is a runner, I don't think there's a quarterback that doesn't expect to get popped once he becomes a runner.
It wasn't like this groundbreaking thing, but also most coaches don't say it. It was almost like a warning shot.
Yeah, and they're trying to get in their head, and especially with Hurts all banged up.
And I think they're trying to remind the refs ahead of time.
Yeah, exactly.
That, like, listen, we know he's a quarterback, but if he opts to do this, then he isn't, and we're going to act as
That's
such.
Right, because we just had that with Mahomes.
Yep.
And, you know, he was a runner. So you can't throw that flag. They're going to hit him. And so I was thinking about Joe Witt. I'm like, what the hell is Joe Witt going to pull out of his ass against the Eagles offense? And that's where I keep coming back to. I don't think they stop Barkley. I just don't. And so I just feel like Washington's offense is going to have to be stellar, and they're going against Vic Fangio. That's a Steve Spagnuolo-level guy in this spot. I trust Philly. That's where I've come down on it. I think it's Philly, Kansas City Super Bowl, which I know doesn't make people all that excited. I don't know if you like Super Bowl rematches. We seem to get a lot of them. And for obvious reasons.
I don't totally care. I mean, what I end up wanting is a good game in the Super Bowl. And if that's what that produces, I don't care whether it's a rematch or if it's a new matchup.
Well, last year was a good game.
Yeah.
2 years ago was a good game. I mean, the Chiefs, you know.
The Chiefs play good games in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they've played some good Super Bowls.
Yeah.
There have been some really good. Actually, I mean, all three of them have been really good, right?
Yeah, the
both Niners and the
yeah, then the first one they came back from 10 down in the second half.
I wonder if Sean McDermott's going to have another too conservative moment. I thought
certainly
that
possible.
Yeah, he scares me a little bit. If I'm on Buffalo, that late field goal last week was a little questionable.
As good as Allen has been, the fact that you've seen Mahomes do it so many times, and the things that I almost always look at first when it gets to this point in the season. Head coach, quarterback, who has the advantage? Still has to be Kansas City.
Yeah.
As good as Allen has been, as good as McDermott has been, you still have to go with Reed and Mahomes.
Yeah, again, just trustworthy. But I also think that at this level, you go down to coordinator matchups, too.
For sure.
Very big thing.
Yep.
And I just don't know much about Joe Witt, although, like I said, I think it's more Dan Quinn defensively. But I don't know how they stop Barkley. You know, another thing is, too, that came out today is Taylor Rapp for the Bills is not going to play.
That's right. That makes me like Kansas City that much more. They were going to put a rookie in.
Yeah. Cole Bishop. Out of Utah. Second round pick. Now, he started 4 games this year, but the thing about Rapp and the thing about the Bills, and I think this is part of the reason why a lot of people do like Buffalo, is that they have seen Kansas City multiple times. Mm-hmm. Like, they are not scared of Kansas City. They just beat Kansas City this year.
Yep.
So they know how to play Kansas City. So I think that gives people some, you know, that makes him feel a little bit more comfortable. But Taylor Rapp, you know, that's a guy who's played in this series, and Cole Bishop is a guy who has not. So that could be the difference. I mean, I don't know how much of the Eagles-Rams game you watched, but when Quinyon Mitchell went out of there and the backup was in there,
they picked on him.
They picked on that kid, and I feel like the snow got in the way because the game, it was just kind of hold on to your hat type of game. But if that's in a dome, if that's in L.A., I wonder if that couldn't be a difference in the Rams winning that game. But, you know, I mean, we'll never know. I just mean that can be a matchup like that. Cole Bishop, one mistake here or there in a game like this could be the difference.
Yeah, and I've heard some analysts say that that Buffalo's a little bit weak over the middle of the field anyways, and that's, you know, that's some of the bread and butter for the Chiefs with Kelce and
Doesn't
Mahomes.
Doesn't that terrify you if you're playing Kansas City?
Yes.
With Kelce?
Yeah.
God.
Who Kelce just basically, he's got 19 playoff appearances and he averages 7 catches for 100 yards. It's and a touchdown. He has 19 touchdowns in 19 playoff games.
Yeah, I was thinking about them today, about outside of him. It is amazing. He's going to get his. He's great. Yep. Mahomes will find him. They'll get him open. But who else in Kansas City even remotely scares you?
So now it's Xavier Worthy, I think.
You think he's
I mean, and the reason I say that, I was digging into the numbers a little bit today myself, and he's basically been putting up 40 to 50 yards a game for them, minimum, for the last 2 months. And the thing is, he's ultra-explosive. He was like the fastest guy in the draft when they got him. And so it's not that they hit him on that many deep shots, but he has the speed to stress the defense, and they try to force the ball to him to stress the defense. I think that makes things easier a little bit for everybody else. But they don't have many weapons that really scare you at this point.
Yeah, Worthy. So you remember last year when Zay Flowers dropped? Was it a big? It was like right on the goal line or something? Or maybe, no, he fumbled on the goal line.
Yeah, it was the fumble.
Yeah.
It was the fumble, yeah.
It was against the Chiefs, right?
Uh-huh.
Worthy is a candidate for that.
To do something like that?
to me, he is. Yeah, well, he's young. I mean, he's inexperienced. Yeah, it's a rookie. Big moment. And I just, Kansas City, this is what we're going to talk about with Joey and what we've been talking about all week is teams that take care of the ball versus teams that don't. That's why you just go back to Mahomes, Kelce, and the bread and butters, the Worthies and the guys like that. Scary. Pacheco is another one. You brought up Pacheco. That guy, you said that he hasn't broken a run over 11 yards all year?
Well, yeah. Again, I was listening to another podcast. It's not quite there, but he's had 88 carries because he was injured for a lot of the early part of the season and came back in the last month or so. It's 88 carries, and 86 of them have gone for 10 or fewer yards. So he's got 2 carries that have gone over the distance of a first down.
Wow. Wow. And this is why people bet on Buffalo. They're like,
yep.
Pacheco like, doesn't scare you? Like, who scares
who,
you?
Who does?
His name is Patrick.
Yeah. But it's like, but who does he even have? Old man Kelce and what else?
But he gets it to him.
I know.
He gets it to him.
But again, you see the logic in why you bet against that. You're like, they could stop that.
Not this guy. Not this guy either. I'm on Kansas City. So we'll see. We'll talk more about it with Joey Harrington coming up later. Pete Carroll, he's back in the game. That's next. Here's Buck.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcast.
Let's do that.
All right, the coaching carousel turning again today. Pete Carroll hired by the Raiders. We were just talking yesterday about him emerging in Dallas. And I was saying I thought that Dallas stumbling into Pete Carroll would actually have been good. I thought he's a great fit in Dallas.
Yeah, we liked that idea.
Yeah, you liked it too. It's like we kind of likened it to Pete Carroll at USC. Just a good fit for the... for kind of the glitz and glamour culture and the wild stuff that goes on there.
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit different animal than what the rest of the jobs are, but kind of proof handling that big atmosphere and all of that goes with it, all the bells and whistles.
And he's a good leader. He can keep people together, bring people together, and they have a quarterback and they have a decent roster. You know, Raiders a little different. I mean, I don't know if this is a great hire for the Raiders, but I also don't know who else the Raiders could have gotten. It sounds like Ben Johnson didn't want that job because the Bears have a quarterback and the Raiders don't. So they lost out on him. And I see why he may have been, you know, at the top of their list. But Pete, I mean, he's stable. He's accomplished. He's, like I said, he's a great leader. I think he's a better hire in Dallas, but good hire for the Raiders? I mean, I guess it just depends how he works with this GM. I think a lot of this is Tom Brady's new GM that he brought in was a guy he played with at Michigan, and he knew him from his time in Tampa, and he is a first-year GM. He's only been an assistant. So I think what the idea here is, Brady is saying...
You could almost lean on some of of Carroll's expertise in that realm. And
you got the old guy. He's going to be the oldest head coach in NFL history, by the way. He looks great.
Yeah, he looks fantastic. He does not look like he's going to be 74 in September.
He looks great. He is older than Bill Belichick, and that should stun you if you see a side-by-side of what they look like right now. But I just think that what Brady's doing here, he's like, I got a young GM, but I got an old coach, who has also been kind of in the personnel... like he's been kind of a co-GM, you know, with John Schneider in Seattle. So he knows that area of it. And that could be a good match to help the young GM. So I don't know. I see what they're doing. I got to tell you, since Tom Brady became a minority owner of the Raiders, a lot of what's gone on with him has seemed and felt a lot better than with Mark Davis.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
You know, so happy to see Pete back. I think Sue could be stunned, right? Wasn't Sue just... laughing at the notion of Pete Carroll or Bill Belichick getting an NFL job? And
well, especially
Pete.
Carroll's name wasn't kicked around at all until like a couple weeks ago.
I know, it just came up late.
Because you would have thought, I mean, we knew about the Bears, you know, mid-season, and he was a name that recently got connected to that job before Ben Johnson landed there. And it's like, Pete came out of nowhere, whereas all the other candidates we've kind of been talking about for a while now.
Well, I think, I assume this happens every year where we get the same names, and you cycle through them, and you interview them, and you kind of, and some get picked off. You know, the best ones get picked off, and then you're left looking at these names, and none of them blow your hair back. And then you go back to the old, and then guys like Pete Carroll emerge because you're like, oh, wait a minute, there's a guy who's won a Super Bowl sitting out there, who's also won a college championship. Like, how many guys have done that? And he's a little bit more stable and a little bit more of a known commodity. He starts looking better and better as the candidates get weaker and weaker. Because you're down at the end of the barrel here. I mean, the Cowboys are talking about Brian Schottenheimer, for heaven's sakes. I mean, God. What if I told you that a year ago? What if I told you that? A year ago.
You could tell me that right now and I'll still laugh.
Well, a year ago, Mike McCarthy was on the hot seat, right? Was it the Niners game? They get blown out. And it's like, I don't know, is McCarthy the guy? If I told you at that time, hey, you know who they are going to move on from Mike McCarthy, and you know who they're going to hire? Brian Schottenheimer. You guys would laugh at
me. You go, why would they do that?
Yeah, they're like, they're not going to do that. I mean, they may fire McCarthy, but it's not going to be Brian Schottenheimer. Well, sure enough, it's probably going to be Brian Schottenheimer. That's where we're at. So I don't know who's a worse owner, Jerry Jones or this guy from the Jags, but that's something we need to get into next. This whole Liam Cohen thing is bananas. That guy is now going to be the coach of the Jags. So now we're left with, Saints and Cowboys is the only two vacancies that need to be filled.
Yep.
Do you know who the previous oldest coach was?
Ooh.
It wasn't Belichick.
Let's see.
I've got three names here. He was 73 in 2020.
Oh, okay. So it's somebody who's not coaching anymore.
No.
Like I thought you were saying like active, but okay. So
No. The oldest coach ever in the NFL will be Pete Carroll now that he's returning at 74. Right. But this guy was 73 in 2020. He was
Wade Phillips still kicking around?
Ooh, that's a good guess. No, it was Romeo Crennel.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Your boy Romeo Crennel was the oldest coach.
My boy.
Previous to that, Marv Levy and George Halas both coached at the age of 72.
Yeah, I would have got Levy pretty quick.
And you may be thinking, well, what about Belichick? Well, Belichick's 73 right now. He's been out of the NFL for 2 years.
Yeah.
So he wasn't. He's old, but not as old as those guys. So Pete's going to be the oldest head coach in NFL history. He got a 3-year deal. And I think they said there's an option for a 4th year. And I don't hate it for the Raiders, but I also...
It's hard to know.
Yeah. I mean, if they got Ben Johnson,
They could have done a lot worse, I think.
They could have, but I don't...
But we also don't know that Pete's going
to
be good.
It's really about the roster and who they get at quarterback.
Yeah, which then kind of falls to the GM. Who, and by the way, the GM was hired... The new GM was hired before they landed on Carroll. So...
That's true.
You know, it's... You got to imagine there's some synergy here.
Synergy with... What do you mean?
Between these two. That it's not like one got stuck with the other. Right? You know, I mean...
The
new GM came in...
He was sitting in
after that, he... Then brought it. They brought in Carroll.
You're saying he was sitting in on Carroll interviews.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't think it's like they got these two guys separately, like piecemeal. You know what I mean?
You think he called him old man?
Maybe.
You want to coach this team, old man? Pete chewing his gum out there. I love Pete Carroll.
Yeah, he does give that gum a mean chomp.
I know a lot of people don't like him, but as time goes by, I tend to wonder why he's not more revered for what he's accomplished.
Pretty impressive.
It was amazing. All right. We'll get to the Liam Cohen saga coming up next. And then Friday randoms after that here on The Fan. All right, coming up next hour, odds on the Blazers landing Cooper Flagg and hot Ryan Day talk. Been thinking a lot about him. An inordinate amount of time I've spent thinking about Ryan Day this week. So we'll get to that. But this Liam Cohen story is really wild.
It's getting weirder with every detail that comes out.
Yeah, so he's the offensive coordinator in Tampa. Last week, he said, I'm out of the running for the Jags job. Hours later, the Jags fire their GM. And a couple of days later, Cohen is back in their building. And they have backed up the Brinks truck for him. And they have landed him.
Yeah.
So he's going to be the coach of the Jags. What ended up happening, and the details of it are where it gets wild, I guess Shad Khan, is it Shad or Shad?
I believe it's Shad.
Shad. He's the owner of the Jags. So Cohen didn't want to work with Trent Baalke. So that's why he backed out.
And based on reports, seemed like was not the first coach that didn't want to work with Baalke.
So Khan gets wind of this and goes, all right, well, Baalke's out of here. Well, Tampa has already come back to Cohen and offered him a deal that would pay him like, I think they said it was like $5 million a year. He'd been one of the highest paid coordinators in the league.
He'd basically be one of, if not the highest paid OC out there.
Yeah, I mean, he'd be making more than whoever the Cowboys are going to hire as head coach. It's crazy. So he was going to sign that, but then he doesn't show up to sign that deal. And the Bucs can't get a hold of him.
Ghosted.
They're like, where's Liam? Well, he's in Jacksonville.
Oh.
And apparently, Shad Khan said to Cohen, he said, I will pay you Ben Johnson money. And for those that don't know, Ben Johnson just got hired with the Bears, and he is making $13 million per year.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pick the GM.
Yeah, so we're sorry about that whole thing where you didn't like our old GM. We want you so bad. We'll pay you as much as the highest paid new guy's getting. Oh, and by the way, you can choose your boss.
And so why would he not
take that?
Excuse me.
So Cohen is the Jags coach. Now, was it Albert Breer that had the story today? That one of the reasons that it was all hush-hush and it seemed kind of secretive with Cohen going back to Jacksonville is that Shad Khan had not conducted enough interviews with minority candidates to satisfy the Rooney Rule. So before they could bring Cohen back in and hire him, they had to bring in a minority candidate to interview.
Right. They basically couldn't pull the trigger yet, but if all the minority candidates know that they have their guy, why are they showing up exactly. for interviews? So there
so
you
they
have
didn't, they didn't want it to be known that Cohen was going back there. So Patrick Graham, who I believe is the Giants defensive coordinator, I think.
I'll have to check that. Am I right about that?
He's African-American, and he was scheduled to interview in Jacksonville, so they wanted to keep it on the down low so that he wouldn't cancel.
He's the Raiders DC.
Raiders, okay. And they wanted to keep it on the down low so that he wouldn't cancel, knowing that he wasn't going to get the job that Cohen was, which is, I mean, come on with this. I mean, God. So I don't know who's a worse owner, Jerry Jones or Shad Khan, but ultimately Khan got his guy. I don't know if Cohen's any good, but boy, they backed up the Brinks truck for him.
Sonny pointed out this will be his fifth job in 5 years for Cohen.
For Cohen?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's he been before Tampa?
Let me pull it up.
But at least Khan is paying what it takes to get his guy. I mean, I respect that. Jerry's not even doing that. He's like trying to lowball everybody.
So he'll be Jacksonville's head coach this year. He just did 1 year as the OC for Tampa. He did 1 year as the OC for Kentucky in college. Did Whoa. 1 year as the OC for the Rams in 2002. He was the year before that, 1 year as the OC back at Kentucky. Before that, he was the Rams quarterbacks coach for 3 years.
So he's a McVay guy?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
What year did you say he was with L.A.?
He started with L.A. as an assistant wide receivers coach in 2018. He became their quarterbacks coach, or assistant quarterbacks coach in 2020. Then he left for the college ranks. Then he came back to the Rams to be their O.C. for 1 year, went back to college for a year, and then went back to the NFL again for the Bucs for 1 year, and now Jaguars.
Is it a red flag that the 1 year he went back to L.A. to be O.C., they were 5-12, and it was the year right after they won the Super Bowl?
Yeah, well, so that's a weird one, right? Because they gutted like all of their future capital and everything to win that Super Bowl. So I don't, and I know that, you know, the kind of hangover was very real for that team. So I don't know how much of that is on him, but it's a little bit odd that he wouldn't have stuck. I mean, you wouldn't think that the Kentucky job is any better than the Rams job. So why did he lose it?
Yeah, that's a red flag. Five jobs in 5 years. That's wild. So I don't know. I don't know if he's any good. I mean, he made Baker Mayfield look pretty good this year.
And Baker is now going to have his eighth offensive coordinator in 8 seasons.
You're kidding.
No.
My God.
Because of the different places he went, they've been cycling through him at all three of his last stops.
That's rough. I mean, didn't Alex Smith have that?
Yeah.
7-7 or
it
something?
And it was, 7-7, and it was 5 head coaches over that period of time, something like that.
Good grief. Well, better hire. Say it right now. Jags or Raiders? I'm going to go Raiders.
Yeah, I will too.
Better hire, Jets or Raiders?
Probably Jets.
You like Aaron Glenn?
I'm not sure how much juice Pete Carroll has left, and I think Aaron Glenn has plenty. So whether Aaron Glenn's is better, whether his top is better than Pete Carroll's, I still think Aaron Glenn probably is more likely to have whatever his fastball is than Pete Carroll is.
Best hire of the cycle? Is it Ben Johnson?
It might be.
He's the biggest name, but...
Yeah.
Well, actually, he's not the biggest name. Pete Carroll is.
Well, yeah.
But Ben Johnson's like the most coveted guy out there.
Yeah.
Because
of
his offense. But I don't know if that's... I don't know.
It's still crazy to me that Dallas is one of the two jobs still open of the six.
Like, better job, Dallas or New Orleans? Probably Dallas.
More resources in Dallas, you'd imagine. But like...
But still.
Man.
You want that? I'm convinced
so
that,
much meddling.
I'm convinced no one wants a Dallas job. And that's why he is not...
Seems like it.
Hiring a coach. Or hasn't yet. And I don't think anybody really wants the Saints job, but you're going to, with Dallas, you have a case of the supposedest. You have a guy who thinks he should be able to get whoever he wants versus New Orleans, who surely has to know, yeah, look, you're not going to get your pick of the litter.
Yeah.
You're it's a low-level NFL job. But the Cowboys, it's like thought it's, of as like the job.
Right.
But it's really not, because nobody wants to work with Jerry, and he's going to lowball them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to pay you less and get up in your business, and that doesn't sound fun to
the
most
guys
people.
Don't want to do that.
No.
But they do have a quarterback, so.
Yeah.
Maybe they should have just kept McCarthy.
Maybe. If they're gonna go with Schottenheimer, then yes, they should have just kept McCarthy.
So somebody on the Vancouver Four text line, Dallas is waiting on one of the coaches from the Final Four teams. Bank on it. Maybe Cliff Kingsbury. That's possible.
Well, and we mentioned Spagnuolo yesterday, too.
Spags. And also Joe Brady, maybe to the Saints.
Yeah.
He's with Buffalo right now. Yeah. So, yeah, that could be their why they're holding out. You know, somebody else pointed out that there's the rumor, and there's always rumors in Dallas because they got so many people covering that team.
Mm-hmm.
But and so many leaks, it seems like. But they were saying that Jason Witten, and this there is smoke to this fire.
Yeah.
That a la the Gerard Mayo hire in New England, Jerry loves Jason Witten.
He has such an affinity for him as an individual.
And Jeff Saturday's like this in Indy. Remember
yep.
they threw him a bone?
Yep, an owner's favorite, kind of.
Yep, and they think they'd be a great coach. Jerry wants Jason Witten, and Brian Schottenheimer would be the bridge to Jason Witten. They'll bring in Witten, put him on the staff, and Schottenheimer will be the head coach for a year, and then here comes Jason Witten for Dallas.
Man, that's an interesting...
God. Somebody's got to get Jerry out of there. I mean, I know it won't happen.
Not happening.
I know, but that's... good grief. All right, let's get to Friday Randoms. The odds on the Blazers landing Cooper Flagg next on The Fan.